Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 343. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program to receive one. Please specify whether you need a CD or an audio tape copy. It's absolutely free, including the postage and handling. We have music, we've got some Bible reading, a lot of teaching, and some testimonies. Right now, though, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord in confidence with at least the amount of faith as in the size of a little mustard seed, which is the eventually grows up to be the greatest of all herbs. For the fowls of the air live in the shadow of it in its branches. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life. Open the windows of heaven and pour out your anointing. Let everything that you want to say be said through me. In the mighty name of Jesus, that souls may be saved and that the church be strengthened and fruitful with the multis of millions and even billions, or however many souls it is that you want to anoint through me for. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now here are the Brothers Keepers singing All For Me. And really, it's all for you as well. the Lord. Yes. Getting our sins washed away is one of the processes that we must go through in order to have a complete salvation. First of all, we have all of our sins taken away at the cross, but that isn't exactly all that is a part of salvation. That's just the clearance of our sins. And then we have to take up the cross and follow the Lord, and that means that we must clear ourselves of our former life. We have to give it up, everything, because the Lord gave up everything during his life. He bore the cross and denied himself every temptation on the face of this earth. And we have to do the same thing. So it's the clearance of our old carnals, everything that we did, every evil thing that we did, because we're exchanging our old life for eternal life. There's a lot of difference. And we have to, there's the parable of the sower. It shows all the different stages of human life that people are in, and some of them will go through the entire process of salvation, which means that they receive life and then they continue on to the end. But there's a lot of them that, like the seed is sown on shallow ground, and then it springs up. It's very happy to hear the word of some of the word of God, but when they have to, when they see that you're going to be persecuted and be degraded, then they are offended, and because they don't have much root in them, they burn up and they are gone. So they haven't gone through the complete process of eternal life. So we, when the good seed of God is sown, I'll get into that later, it has to be sown into a person's heart. The Lord likens it as the same thing as sowing seed in the ground. God made the earth, and then he made seeds inside of different fruit, inside of animals, inside humans, inside of everything, fish, fowl, bugs, insects, everything. And but when the word is likened unto seed, because it is sown into a person's heart, which is in the parable, it talks about the heart being the same as soil. And the seed, the word of God, is spirit, and it is life. And if somebody will not endure persecution or degradation, they just will not be degraded, because they don't believe that the word. They only believe the word to a certain extent. They don't believe that they should carry. Now, they know that the word of God sown into them brought forth life into them, but they don't believe the rest of it, that they must continue on to the end, praising and thanking the Lord and receiving the word with gladness. But they just say, this is just too much to be degraded like this and to receive persecution and all sorts of different offenses that happen during your Christian life. The Lord wants you to toughen up, because it's not a bed of roses. It's a cross-carrying salvation. And that's why the Lord wants us to be consummated. He wants to consume us into the process triune God. Because the process triune God has power in him enough to keep standing throughout the entire process that we must go through in human life to become, we must consume the Lord, because the Lord is the consummation. Amen? He needs to consume us, and we need to consume him. And if we will allow the consummation of the process, triune God, when it's sown into the good earth. If it's good earth, if we have a good heart, if we're not going to be influenced by the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world, because the Bible states that it's easier for us to live a poverty-stricken life than it would be for you to be extremely rich. Because if you're extremely rich, the Bible says that a rich person, it's very hard for you to get into the kingdom of heaven. Because you're enjoying the things of this world that are full of lusts. And he says other lusts, such as riches and the cares of this world. And you say, well, you know, it's just so grievous for me to be a Christian. I get so offended because every day I get up there doesn't seem to be any hope for me to have a life of my own. In other words, you're just thinking about yourself. Jesus never had a life of his own. He said his will was to do the Father's will. He never looked forward to a life of his own. He was looking forward to experiencing the entire will of God. He was looking forward to death because he died out to the riches of this world, the epitome. He was offered the entire world. In other words, Satan was telling him, you could be the Pope. You could run the whole government of the world, all the governments, and you could... Just say what you want to and make it a law that people do exactly what you say. Well, there is a law for us to do the things that the Lord says. It's called the law of the Spirit of life. So the good seed is sown into your heart, and if it's the Spirit of life, then you should be thankful that you're saved, because, you know, you might die tomorrow, and all the things you're looking for are burned up. Had never been burned up, and so you go into eternity with all these things in your heart, and then the Lord doesn't allow you into the best of everything that he has, because you didn't receive the best of what he had here on this earth. You wouldn't allow the good word of God to enter into your heart, and therefore it's stony ground, it's hard, it's unthankful, it doesn't want to receive what God has, because it loves what the world has more than the things that the Lord has. And so they sin. And they never receive the consummation of the process, triune God, the Spirit, so that they can be a member of God's bride, the Lord's bride, and the Holy Spirit. They don't want to be part of the Holy Spirit. I don't want this, Lord. I want the world. I don't want a soft heart. I don't want you living in my heart. I want the world. Give me the world. Well, the Lord will let you have it because that's your heart's desire. Your heart's desire is not the Lord. It's the world. Your stony, unthankful heart, you're unthankful for the Lord dying on the cross, shedding his blood, then ascending into heaven and putting his beginning of your what the Lord wants for you, which is to be processed into heaven. So stage one is to have your sins removed by the blood that Jesus shed. And stage two is for you to willingly give up this horrible, wretched, whorish, filthy life that you had before the Lord began attempting to process you into heaven. And that is the second stage, would be for you to put aside your old way of living and come to the Lord for power to be able to do this, because it's such a joy to have the power of the Lord in you, because this is part of the process, and this is the part of having peace, Because when you know that you've gone through the four different stages of process of the living God within you, then you have peace and joy and happiness and thankfulness. And you have an abundance of more than you had before. You have thousands of more mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers. But some of you might say, but we can't have sex with anybody that we want. No, you can't, because that's the world, okay? And the Lord is not going to process you and your filthy self into the kingdom of heaven. Your wanton heart. You notice at the end of the book of the book of Revelation, it says that the Spirit, when the Spirit of God enters into you, then after you go through all the different processes that the Lord requires that you go through, is that you, the Spirit of God in you, and you, who are a member of the bride, will speak together as one, because you've been processed into the marriage of yourself to the Lord. That's more important to you than being processed into some bum on the street that might have AIDS or that will lead your soul right into hell. But just so you can have something filthy on this side of earth, you give up the going through the entire process. So the first of the process is being forgiven of your sins, and then second is the clearance of your former life. And then there's two other stages that you must go through. So the second experience of salvation, which is having God's life living in you, not just for a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two, or a year or two, but you must have God's life living in you all the time in order for you to have been processed into heaven. Do you think that just taking a taste of the Lord and then spitting him out and then living your own life after 10, 15, or a month, or a year, or 10, 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then you spit the Lord out of your mouth? Well, he'll spit you out of his mouth, he said. If you're not zealous and happy to have life, and happy to, if you're so happy with life, then why aren't you a soul winner? Why don't you go out and win souls? Why don't you distribute some of Tony Alamo's messages that it's obvious that win human souls? Amen?
Amen.
So the second experience is the clearance of or forgiveness of the past. Not just your former sins, but now the clearance of your past. Now, the clearance of forgiveness of the past is not to be regarded as the complete experience of life in Jesus or in God. That isn't to be considered everything. Would you think?
No.
The forgiveness of sins and the clearance, forgiveness of sins is through the blood of Jesus. So it says that the blood of Jesus, so many people just receive that. Well, the blood of Jesus taketh away the sins of the world. That's true. But that's all it does. It doesn't give you eternal life. I could, you know, there's all kinds of criminals that they get, they go to prison and the governor or the president gives them a clearance of what they did before for some reason, because they're going to use them in a special thing, like a spy somewhere, because they know how to speak a certain language, and they say, we'll let you out if you'll do this. So they've been forgiven of their sins, but they're still asking them to live the same kind of life they did before. They don't care if they go out and commit adultery or fornication, or if they're lesbians or homosexuals. They just let them go because that's the way of the world. So the forgiveness of sins and the clearance of the past that cannot be considered even itself. as the experience of the complete experience of having God's life living in them. Actually, what it is just the clearance of the past. So because of the fact you don't want to go back to prison, so you go to school and learn a trade, instead of stealing, you go and do something, you change your life, you become a worker, because it's better to work and make a few bucks than to be in prison and make a penny a day or something in their slave labor camp. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's the way it really is, kids. Okay? So what it is just the clearance of the past, or the clearance, the changing, brushing away of all your sins. So we're going to consider that only as a appendix to the experience. We're going to consider this as only an appendix to the experience of God's life. God's life is deeper than just the forgiveness of sins and the changing of your life. Because the person that's let out of prison and forgiven, they think, hey, that's neat. And then they get a job so they don't go back to prison, they don't steal anymore. But still, they have all these same desires, and they still could do something on the QT, on the quiet. Okay, so that doesn't mean anything. The eyes of God, the spirits of God are like the eyes of the Lord searching out people's hearts. And He knows everything you're thinking and everything that you're doing. I mean, you can't shuck the Lord, you know. Okay, so this is not the experience of life or salvation or regeneration. Since a person who has been truly regenerated or saved will naturally bring all his past to an end. That's just the natural thing for you to do. But there's been people that's come even into my church, and they still are scoping out different men, or men come in and they're scoping out, they get saved, and there's a delight that enters into them because they feel the Spirit of God and it's wonderful to them. But then all of a sudden they start thinking that because they're saved, they can live their own kind of life in the church, that they can scope out the opposite sex. Or we even had some lesbians come into the church that we had to throw out because we don't allow them in the church. Not my church. The Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. We don't do that. Even though the government says the government, there's supposed to be, and there is, a separation between church and state. And so we don't let the state come in and tell me how to preach God's word. Amen? And if you are doing that, well, then you better repent, friend. Okay, so a person who has been truly regenerated or saved will be thankful and grateful. He wants to do good. He wants to naturally bring his entire past to an end, to put it to death, so that it's a normal thing for him to do. The experience of salvation, just one of the normal experiences in regard to being saved. So regeneration most definitely includes the clearance of the elimination of the ending of the past, or the death of your past, a type of life. You dig! Okay, like you people out there know what digging something is. You understand it. Okay? But there are some people that don't seem to be completely regenerated and saved in that way. In a complete way is what I'm talking about. Even though they have been regenerated and saved, it's obvious to see that their past has not been clear. They're still, they got this down deep in their soul, which is the Bible calls this, we are not to be led by our souls or our flesh or our selfish life, that we're be led by the Spirit of life, by the Lord, to live according to this the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, in the Word, in Christ Jesus. So the past has not been clear to some of these people, not until they are resurrected by the Lord do they learn this lesson of the clearing or the end or the death of the past. So it's the right thing to do to separate the regeneration and the clearance of the past or the end of the past, their past life, that is. Consider them as two distinctly different experiences of having God's life living in them. Some people think they can just say the prayer. And this has to do with salvation, folks. That you can just say the prayer and get your sins washed away and then get up and start. There's no change. There's no depth in you to learn the way of the Lord. And the way of the Lord, he doesn't walk around in people that are full of sin and unthankfulness for salvation and feeling that they have this feeling that they're deprived of the satanic way of life. In other words, they're of Satan. They don't want to be of the Lord. So God showed them that he gave them regeneration and forgiveness of their former sins, but then they go right back into sinning again. There are two very excellent examples of the clearance of the past. One of them is found in Luke 19, 1 through 10, which is the truth of Zacchaeus during who was dealing with his past after he had become saved. The other one is in the book of Acts, Chapter 19, verses 18 through 19, which is the account of the Ephesians having put an end to their past after their being slaves to sin. In Luke 19, the Bible states that as soon as Zacchaeus was saved, he immediately felt that he had extorted other people in the past. Some people have fornicated other people in the past. They didn't care whether they were sending these people souls to hell and their own souls to hell, but they did these things in the past, and they still want to do the same thing. So they haven't been regenerated, really. I mean, the Lord gave them a chance, and but they didn't put away their past life, and they don't want to. They say, to hell with what God has. I want the world. I want to satisfy my flesh. That's the most important thing to these kind of weasels. So he felt that he had extorted other people in the past, and because of that, he deemed himself to be an unrighteous person. He also knew that he was a money grabber. A money-grabbing person, or a person that loved money, and that he was he wasn't a gregarious type person. He was very stingy, pinch penny. If someone had to go to court for preaching the gospel or delivering food to somebody, and their names be mentioned, well, it's going to cost too much for an attorney. You have to think about that first, rather than give person credit for doing what the Lord said to do. Amen. Some people are like that, ain't they? Amen. Amen. It's just money. Well, I remember one time when the Lord was talking to me, I was over at Lee's Drugstore. It's not there anymore, on the corner of Highland and Hollywood Boulevard, in Hollywood, California. And we were just really poverty-stricken there because I'd given up all my worldly life. I had a Beatles album, but I didn't want to sell it. Because Manson's actually thought that the Beatles were singing this Helter Skelter song to kill people, and so they believed that there was an underlying message from the Beatles to go out and kill people, and so they did it, and they're still in prison to this day. But I was in there asking the Lord, these deodorants, these stick deodorants, Lord, this one costs a lot of money. And this one, I like this one the best, but this one, boy, he came down in rage on me, and he says, do you not think that I can afford a stick of deodorant for you? Take whichever one you want, and get a half a dozen of them if you want. So I really got rebuked strongly there. For that, and I just bought the best one I liked, and I went, and the Lord blessed me for it, because I trusted God to provide whatever money it was to run the ministry and for me to have a stick of deodorant and the kind I wanted. Because I was winning souls. The good seed of God, the word of God, went deep into my heart, and I wanted to tell others. I had cleared my life of not wanting to tell others. I didn't never want to tell others. I didn't want to tell others about eternal life because I didn't believe in eternal life. But when I did, the proof of the pudding, the proof of the pudding was that I wanted to do the work of the Lord. I didn't want to throw a person's soul by flirting with them, smiling at them, and all these different things, because I know that that's a turn-on to other people. I didn't want to do that anymore. If somebody would look at me in a flirtatious way, I'd just say, did you know that Jesus is coming back to earth again? Oh, that's far beyond some people that call themselves Christians. But this is part of the process, is to know that you've been resurrected to a new life.
Amen?
Amen. I've been resurrected to live with the Lord. I am part of the Lord's bride because I say the same thing he does. The bride and the spirit say, come on, get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Because the good seed that was sown in my heart has germinated and grown up in me like the small seed. It wasn't small to when I found out that it was the Lord. But it was more than a mustard seed. I wanted to do something for God instead of myself. So this Zacchaeus was saying, you know, he was money hungry and was a skin flint. And he lived in a very frugal way, you know, just everything had to be depressing to him. He thought that was God. But God has a storehouse in the kingdom of heaven that is so abundantly full of everything, and he doesn't really care. If you're a soul winner, if you're really resurrected and you're in him, you just, and he tells you it's okay, then it is okay. All right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, it's good to be frugal in one way, but not to just blow money on whatever you want. But, I mean, these are things that I needed. I needed a stick of deodorant. So, I've learned better than that now, that you know, I didn't have to pinch pennies so far as if I wanted something really bad and I needed. So, Zacchaeus told the Lord, he told Jesus that if he had taken anything from anybody by false accusations, like the IRS did with me, they had falsely accused me, and they know they did. And I went to prison, they gave me a 6-year sentence, and I got out in 4 years because of good behavior. Just like the Internal Revenue did that, and that's what he was the IRS back then. He does that, the IRS does that to people today. He would be willing now, this is a change of life, to restore everything that he had taken from people four times. If he took money from you that he didn't deserve to take from you, or you didn't deserve to be have that money taken from you, he restored him fourfold. And on top of this, he was willing to give half of his goods to the poor. He was halfway there. Well, when I got saved, I gave everything I had to the poor. I didn't give my Beatles album away or any of the masters that I had, the songs by P.J. Proby and Bobby Jameson and other artists that I had. Later I had done, because Susie told me the Lord wanted me to, because everyone in the recording industry and movie industry thought I'd gone crazy for just leaving that career, as we have to do, because there's a change of life, you know, you have to give up that old life. How could I win any soul if I was in there, you know, playing rock and roll and the things that I was doing then? But the Lord wanted me to do the promotion for the singer Jim Hahn, who we changed his name to Rovon, and then he, within 90 days, he was the star of the Dunes Hotel. I was considered like King Midas. Everything I touched went to gold. So then they knew that I hadn't gone completely, or even a little bit crazy. They knew that because this was an opera singer during the time that the Beatles and the Rolling Stones were happening big time. And we got on the charts. And Major Riddle at the Dunes Hotel and Lee Fisher and all the staff over there went crazy for this singer. I got him in there. And now he, of course, I told him don't drink. I really tried to persuade him to do gospel music. But I just put him in there, and here he was on big signboards all over the nation and in different foreign countries, because he did have an extraordinary voice. It was better than Caruso, better than Mario Lanza, better than all these other singers. His opera. He has a website. You can go to it. So Zacchaeus was halfway there. I gave all that I had away, Susie told me to save the promotions that I did in the Beatles album. I threw them in the trash. She told me to take them back out, because she said people wouldn't believe me later on. You'll see, people are hateful. They don't believe you. After it's been 42 years now, so I'm glad I did save them, because when I saw one man come back to the church because somebody told him that I didn't do all those things. And so I called him over to my house, which was a shack behind a filling station at that time. And I showed him my scrapbooks and things that Susie had me save. And he became our number one piano player. He said, yep, you did all these things. So when Zacchaeus did all these things, that was the end of his past. How about you? Are you still fornicating? You're not resurrected from the dead then. You're not mortified. You're not dead. You're still alive to lust. Lust of the eyes. The lust of your flesh. You just need to have somebody else's flesh. That's more important to you than to go to heaven. You don't care if you go to hell. As a matter of fact, you'd just say, well, that part of the Bible I don't believe in. I don't believe that a good God would send my soul to hell. No, you send yourself to hell because you don't believe the Word of God, just like Eve didn't believe the Word of God when Satan came because of her flesh. She was lusting after wisdom, you know, worldly wisdom. And so she ate from the tree after the Lord commanded her not to do so. And then she became Satan's first evangelist. She went and preached to her husband, come on, eat! And he did. And so we all got jaked up real bad from that time on. And so now we have to take up the cross. We have to have a new life. We have to have the life of God, the life of Christ living in us. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. not just one day or an hour or during the time of the message. We have to take up the cross and follow the Lord. We have to deny ourselves the old life. Amen?
Amen.
You understand? Amen. Everybody?
Yes.
I see. Okay. Now, Acts, in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible states many of the Ephesians that were born again of the Spirit. In other words, they were saved through Paul's preaching and teaching. They came to confess their evil old life deeds. Many of them were willing to bring their books of charms, and they were burning them before the people. This was the end of their old life. Their old past. They didn't want any more of that idolatry. Now, there's a reason for the ending of people's past regarding salvation. So the sins are the things of the past that need to be dead. No sin shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No sinner. You have to be repented. So you're not a sinner saved by grace if you're really resurrected from the dead. You're that old you is dead. You become a new creature. You're a son of God. And if that doesn't mean anything to me, then you're an unthankful wretch. And you shouldn't expect too much from the Lord at all. Nothing. So that past needs to be ended, put away. After we're saved, after people are saved, a lot of people just continue on in doing what they did before. How come do they continue on doing what they did before? Why? What's the reason for that? Well, what's the big object? What's their goal? That they must, why they must put an end or put away all the former life, an end to all the things of the past. So there are several different categories, actually, for one, because there are things that we did that were unrighteous things. And two, there are things that are not proper in regard to God's holy, sanctified, word, the Bible. Number three, a lot of evil, unclean things of the past that must be put to death. A sudden cease and desist. And four, the old ways, our old way of living. So after we've been saved, there needs to be a clearance, a cleaning up, an end, or a death of the way we did things before. Everything must be put to death, put away. The unrighteous things that we did before, unrighteous means that we were unjust, that we were not living according to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or the moral law. And the Lord said he didn't come to destroy the moral law, because no immoral person is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, we were illegal according to God's law, moral law. Hallelujah! I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm according to the law. And everything that we had gained in the past by being unjust, by using illegal means, such as being a whorish type person, a prostitute. Some people weren't even prostitutes. They just gave themselves away for free because the lust in their flesh was so strong and they had no desire, even to this day, to put that evil spirit to death. Or there's some that were thieves, beating people out of their money, or by being a bully, taking things by force, or encroaching upon others, their property, keeping things that have been lost by others instead of returning it to them. So that we borrow, you know, if you borrowed something, you didn't return it a long time ago. And all illegal relationships with other and unjust dealings, fornication, adultery, homosexuality toward others, all unrighteousness, all the things that we did in the past are the things that we must, it must be put to an end. They must die. They need to be put, just throw them away, like they can't even, your thoughts can't even think of them. You have to put your thoughts to death, the former thoughts. The things that we did that were improper, sin, the things that we did not proper to the Word of God, and unrighteousness are very closely related in meaning, yet they are a bit different. Unrighteousness means that the method by which a certain thing is obtained, or the relationship of certain matters, is unjust or illegal, improper, and that means that the very nature of a certain thing or matter is improper or absolutely indecent. Now let's read some scriptures. So let's go to the book of Mark, 4th chapter. And let's go to the sower of the... let's see, that would be verse 13. Go ahead and start reading.
And he, Jesus, said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?
Right. Let's talk about the parable of the sower. Then go ahead.
The sower soweth the word.
Okay, the sower went out to sow, and seeds, and that seeds I said before, and what Jesus is saying here is the word of God. Okay, then what?
And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown.
Okay, some of them are sown in good ground, but wait a minute, this one here is somebody by the wayside, just somebody like on the streets that's having what they call one heck of a good time out there in the world. So they're by the wayside, and then what?
But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
Right. Many of them are sitting in churches today, and they, their flesh is so on fire for the world and the lust of the world. Lust of the flesh is that the minute that the word is sown at them and into their heart, that Satan comes immediately and just takes it right out of the good word, right out of the good seed, right out of their heart. Then what?
And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness.
Oh, they just so glad. Okay, but they're little soil on top of rocks. Then what? Because they got hard heart. Unthankful heart. Then what?
And have no root in themselves.
There's no root in them because they don't ever become broken by the word of God. The word of God is like garbage to them because their flesh is so strong to do the opposite of what the Lord wants them to do. Then what?
And so they endure but for a time.
They hang around for a while. They'll even hang around in the church for years. But they never really are resurrected unto God's immortal, eternal life. They never go through the full process. Then what?
Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
Yeah, they're offended also, you know, if you do something for somebody or if you give credit to somebody for doing some good thing, that bugs them. They don't want anybody to have good credit but themselves. Then they're selfish. Then what?
And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches.
The cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. Remember how Jesus stated that how hardly shall a rich man get, or a woman get into the kingdom of God? That's why it's all right if God gives you money, but the love of money is the root. The love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And so the Lord showed me that I shouldn't love money more than one of his children that is doing a bang-up job for him out on the streets of Hollywood, California, winning all kinds of dopers and hippies off of narcotics and drugs and everything. I shouldn't be deprived of a stick of deodorant, for God's sake. Or like when we were eating beef, a hamburger or something like that. There's no reason to deprive myself. The Lord has got plenty of everything. And he feeds people, even unrighteous people, get to eat. And they get to have stuff. The Lord is very generous and he feeds the whole world. Then what?
And the lusts of other things enter.
Okay, and read that last verse again.
And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world.
The cares of this world. Then what?
And the deceitfulness of riches.
And the deceitful. Do you realize how deceitful riches are? The Lord told the man he could have been in heaven now for 2,000 years if he would have given up what he had for the ministry. But the man was very sad because he had a lot of stuff, a lot of money. He didn't want to give it up so that the poor in this world that don't have the word of God would be preached, that you could go out and preach the gospel to them, or feed, so we that are saved can go out and feed them and clothe them and house them, like the book of Acts says, bring all that to the house of God, to the elders of the church. You people that've got money out there, are you like a stingy like that man? But if there was a change of life in you, you'd release yourself so that God could... That's what would bust your heart open and God could come in and live. But if you've got a stingy heart, that's not going to happen. Well, listen, then go ahead.
And the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful.
Right, so you can't win souls when the other lusts, like fornicate, you want to fornicate. Hey, you want to fornicate, you want to flirt, you want to go around and show yourself off, and flaunt yourself before the opposite sex or whatever you want to be. Get that out of your mind. Amen?
Amen.
Get those things out of your mind, your heart, your soul. Be resurrected from the dead. And you can do that. I see my time is up. You can be resurrected from the dead right now. We're going to try to continue this tomorrow. So mark where you left off. And Father, let's pray to the Father that your souls will be saved right now. Ask the Lord to enter into you, and he'll cleanse all your sins. And then after that, what you do is put it into your life, because you'll have the power to do that once he enters into you. The whole fullness of the Godhead bodily will enter into you, and you'll be saved. Amen. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have the power to do a work for the Lord living in you. God helps you. He actually will live in you, and Jesus, his Father, and his Holy Spirit. And you'll be able to do a work for the Lord. This is salvation, folks. And we're going to continue with this message mañana, tomorrow. So say this prayer to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away. This is the first part of salvation, but it isn't salvation. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will give me the power to put a clearance, an end to my old life. Hallelujah! And you'll give me the power also to continue on to the end of my life, bearing the cross, praise the Lord, and keeping your commandments and putting an end to the old life. Therefore, I know you've heard me, Lord, because you said, All that call upon you shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me and you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Get baptized, fully submerged in water, and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And here's Sharon now to tell you four different ways to receive program number 343. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. Remember, it's all free. Postage and handling as well. Go ahead, Sharon.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for another powerful message of the truth of the Word of God. The Lord is the truth. Now here's H.B. Barnum's Life Choir singing Life Prayer Song.